Chapter 23. I think, Clara, apostrophe said Mr. Murdstone, in a low grave voice, that there may be better and more dispassionate judges of such a question than you. Apostrophe, Edward, apostrophe replied my mother, timidly, you are a far better judge of all questions than I pretend to be. Both you and Jane are. I only said, apostrophe, you only said something weak and inconsiderate, apostrophe, he replied. Try not to do it again, my dear Clara, and keep a watch upon yourself. Apostrophe, my mother's lips moved, as if she answered yes, my dear Edward, apostrophe, but she said nothing aloud. I was sorry, David, I remarked, apostrophe, said Mr. Murdstone, turning his head and his eyes stiffly towards me, to observe that you are of a sullen disposition. This is not a character that I can suffer to develop itself beneath my eyes without an effort at improvement. You must endeavor, sir, to change it. We must endeavor to change it for you. Apostrophe, I beg your pardon, sir, apostrophe, I faltered. I have never meant to be sullen since I came back. Apostrophe, don't take refuge in a lie, sir. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he returned so fiercely that I saw my mother involuntarily put out her trembling hand, as if to interpose between us. You have withdrawn yourself in your sullenness to your own room. You have kept your own room when you ought to have been here. You know now, once for all, that I require you to be here and not there. Further, that I require you to bring obedience here. You know me, David. I will have it done. Apostrophe, Miss Murdstone gave a hoarse chuckle. I will have a respectful, prompt, and ready bearing towards myself, apostrophe, he continued, and towards Jane Murdstone, and towards your mother. I will not have this room shunned, as if it were infected, at the pleasure of a child. Sit down. Apostrophe, he ordered me like a dog, and I obeyed like a dog. One thing more, apostrophe, he said. I observe that you have an attachment to low and common company. You are not to associate with servants. The kitchen will not improve you in the many respects in which you need improvement. Of the woman who abets you, I say nothing since you, Clara, apostrophe, addressing my mother in a lower voice, from old associations and long-established fancies, have a weakness respecting her which is not yet overcome. Apostrophe, a most unaccountable delusion it is. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Miss Murdstone. I only say, apostrophe, he resumed, addressing me, that I disapprove of your preferring such company as Mistress Peggotty, and that it is to be abandoned. Now, David, you understand me, and you know what will be the consequence if you fail to obey me to the letter. Apostrophe, I knew well better perhaps than he thought, as far as my poor mother was concerned, and I obeyed him to the letter. I retreated to my own room no more, I took refuge with Peggotty no more, but sat wearily in the parlor day after day, looking forward to night and bedtime. What irksome constraint I underwent, sitting in the same attitude hours upon hours, afraid to move an arm or a leg lest Miss Murdstone should complain as she did on the least pretense of my restlessness, and afraid to move an eye lest she should light on some look of dislike or scrutiny that would find new cause for complaint in mine. What intolerable dullness, to sit listening to the ticking of the clock, and watching Miss Murdstone's little shiny steel beads as she strung them, and wondering whether she would ever be married, and if so, to what sort of unhappy man, and counting the divisions in the molding of the chimney piece, and wandering away, with my eyes, to the ceiling, among the curls and corkscrews in the paper on the wall. What walks I took alone, down muddy lanes, in the bad winter weather, carrying that parlor, and Mr. and Miss Murdstone in it, everywhere. A monstrous load, that I was obliged to bear, a daymare that there was no possibility of breaking in, a weight that brooded on my wits, and blunted them. What meals I had in silence and embarrassment, always feeling that there were a knife and fork too many, and that mine, an appetite too many, and that mine, A plate and chair too many, and those mine. A somebody too many, and that I. What evenings, when the candles came, and I was expected to employ myself, but, not daring to read an entertaining book, pored over some hard-headed, harder-hearted treatise on arithmetic. When the tables of weights and measures set themselves to tunes, as Rule Britannia, or Away with Melancholy, when they wouldn't stand still to be learnt, but would go threading my grandmother's needle through my unfortunate head, in at one ear, and out at the other. What yawns and dozes I lapsed into, in spite of all my care, what starts I came out of concealed sleeps with, what answers I never got, too little observations, that I rarely made. What a blank space I seemed, which everybody overlooked, and yet was in everybody's way. What a heavy relief it was to hear Miss Murdstone hail the first stroke of 9 at night, and order me to bed. Thus the holidays lagged away, until the morning came when Miss Murdstone said, "Here's the last day off." And gave me the closing cup of tea of the vacation. I was not sorry to go. I had lapsed into a stupid state, but I was recovering a little and looking forward to Steerforth, albeit Mr. Creakle loomed behind him. Again Mr. Barkis appeared at the gate, and again Miss Murdstone in her warning voice, said, "Clara." When my mother bent over me, to bid me farewell. I kissed her, and my baby brother, and was very sorry then. But not sorry to go away, for the gulf between us was there, and the parting was there, every day. And it is not so much the embrace she gave me, that lives in my mind, though it was as fervent as could be, as what followed the embrace. I was in the carrier's cart, when I heard her calling to me. I looked out, and she stood at the garden gate alone, holding her baby up in her arms for me to see. It was cold still weather, and not a hair of her head, nor a fold of her dress, was stirred, as she looked intently at me, holding up her child. So I lost her. So I saw her afterwards, in my sleep at school, a silent presence near my bed looking at me with the same intent face holding up her baby in her arms. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.